Throughout the course of the meeting, I will add notes to the chat for everyone. I just added a link to the attendance Google Sheet. I will do that again momentarily. So if you haven't had a chance to sign in, please do so tonight so that we know you're here and your school can get credit. When it comes to agendas and minutes and any votes, we use polls for that. And so you'll see polls pop up momentarily as well. Okay, so I'm going to place the attendance link back into the chat now. So everyone, please make sure to use that. And I will now turn this over to Crystal, who will address item B2.
Great. Well, welcome everybody. So great to see you all. Got a nice turnout tonight. My name is Crystal Troll. I'm the first vice chair of the DAC Executive Board. Jeff Bennett, our chair, was called to duty tonight, so he can't be with us. So I'm going to fill in. I have big shoes to fill with his job, so hopefully I do him justice. So we're going to start off with our approval of the agenda for tonight's meeting. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda, followed by a second?
Would you like me to post it on the screen?
Please, yes, if you could put the links for the agenda.
I'm going to share the screen right now. I've got it up. And I'll put the link in the chat.
Great, thank you.
Crystal and or Mary, this is Tom, and I really apologize for butting in. Don't know if everyone else is hearing it, but someone's computer, every time something's coming in, we're getting dings. So I don't know if someone needs to turn that feature off or go on mute. Maybe I'm the only one hearing it, but it's starting to be a little distracting.
It might, I'm hearing Tom, you know what? I've got you as a co-host. It might be you hearing your own.
Maybe, but
Mary, it's all of us. I can fix it. I'll turn it off for you.
Thank you, Kevin.
And that's a good reminder. If your audio is not on mute, please mute it so that any background noise that might be happening where joining the meeting doesn't affect everybody else. So, thank you.
Sorry about that. Here you go. Here's
your button. And Mary, maybe you can make it a little bit bigger for some of us older folks that need the glasses to read that.
We get it. Oops, maybe too small. There we go. How about that?
That's good. And maybe just scroll down a little bit gradually so folks can see.
Oops, there we are. That's the whole thing.
Oh, good. This is our agenda for this evening.
I move to approve the agenda.
Okay. And if you could state your name for the minutes.
Shayna Hazen.
Great. Okay. Can I get a second?
Point Loma High School moves to second.
Great. Thank you, Susie. Any discussion about the agenda before we take it to a vote? Okay. Do we have a poll for this, Mary, for the approval? Okay, so in your poll, please indicate yes, no, or abstention. Okay. Okay, according to the poll results, the yes has it. Okay, great. So the agenda has been approved. Okay, so we'd like to take a few minutes to provide time for any public comment. If you have anything that you'd like to share publicly in terms of commenting, please either indicate it in the chat or I think you can use the little blue hand, raising your hand feature, and we'll call on you. Any public comment? I'm a teacher, so I know how to wait. Okay, I see a hand waving. Is it Deborah Raynor? Okay, do you have a public comment?
Well, I'm just very curious about, are we going to find out tonight if our schools will get Title I funds next year? I know all of our papers had to be in.
Okay, yes. So that was for the survey. That was just
no, not the survey.
Okay.
For the free lunch.
Yeah.
And this is how we get our Title I fund.
Okay, for free lunch. Yeah. Tom, maybe you can take that question.
I will. Unfortunately, there will not be any notification tonight because the process is delayed. But when we get to that part in the agenda, I will explain why the delay is happening and when you will get that information.
Thank you, Tom. Great. Any more public comment? Okay. Well, then we will move on to item B4 of our agenda, which is the approval of the minutes. We'll put a link in the chat for you to review those as well as post them on the share screen. These are the approval for the minutes of December 16th general DAC meeting. I'll get the link and put it in there. So the link to the minutes is in the chat, and we should get that posted on the share screen.
Can you not see it on the shared screen right now?
I just see the agenda. I don't see the minutes.
Okay, I think that's something when I have multiple tabs open, it's a refresh thing. Sorry.
Okay, good.
I will go there. Let me stop sharing and open it again. Maybe that'll do it.
It might be my screen too, so.
It's happened in other settings for me.
Okay.
How about now?
Oh, okay, there it is. Great. Maybe you can make it a little bigger, Mary, please. Great, thank you. So we'll give you just another minute to review those, and then I'll take the call for the motion and the vote. Okay. Is there another page, Mary, or was that the end?
That's it.
Okay, great. So after review of the minutes, can I get a motion to approve the minutes from the December 16, 2020 meeting?
Mark Braun, San Diego High International Studies. I move to approve the minutes.
Great, thank you, Mark. Can I get a second?
Tim Downing.
Debbie Hamm.
Tony Raglin, Edison and Elementary. I second.
Tony, where are you from again?
Edison Elementary.
Tony from Edison Elementary. Okay, great. We have a second. Any discussion on the minutes? Okay, I will call for the vote. There's your poll. So far, the yeses have it. We have a few others, I think, that are still needing to vote. Okay. The yeses have it at 90%. So the minutes are approved. Great.
Can I just ask for clarification? Because I can't vote because I'm a panelist, I guess. Should I put that in the chat?
Yes. If you cannot vote because of co-host responsibilities, you chat to Mary.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Okay. Well, we'll move on to section C of our agenda, which is the family engagement news. So I'll invite Pamela King, who's the program manager for family engagement, to give us an update. Pamela.
Here I am. I'm muting myself. I want to make sure everything was set up. Good evening, everyone. Pamela King, program manager, family engagement. I'm going to share my screen and go right to what we're offering for our families. It's a pleasure to be here today. And so, as always, thank you for having me. As this is coming up, I wanna say Happy New Year. I hope your new year has gotten off to a great start. I'm ready to see what we're gonna do in 2021. It's gonna be great and meaningful. Always want to ground our work in us. This is who we are. No matter if we're virtual or in person, we're still partners, trusted partners. We're sharing the responsibility and committed to. So when we say we're all in this together, we're talking about anybody who's in the child's life. It can be a coach, it can be a church member, it could be your neighbor, it could be your grandparent. We're all united. We're all working towards the same goal, and we're building and strengthening that home and school relationship, and the overall goal, student achievement. So I always want to ground our vision. It's not family engagement, it's us. This is who we are. So thank you. And then don't forget who is on your side. This is our team. We are available by phone numerous hours. We can even schedule some weekends hours, right? That was some of the members of our team are willing to do. So they have their contact information. I'm going to go through the website with you to show you, but I just want to put a face, these beautiful faces, let you know we're here for you. We have community assistants, we have teachers, and we have our Family Fun Factory childcare person. So I just want you to know who we are. Again, the food services, I'm going to have all these links in the chat after the presentation, but we had 81 sites. We currently have 77 sites, and they still are giving those grab and go lunches, those extra food boxes. So please take advantage of those, of the opportunity to get that extra fresh produce and other items that they have in there. If you have any problems with technology, internet connection, something's not working correctly, something on the laptop needs to be replaced, tech support's right there. You have a live person to speak with, and you can have in the language of your choice. The parent learning menu, some of the options are some of the things that parents are inquiring about as far as like how to access PowerSchool, how to maybe the wellness aspect. We have it on the parent learning menu in 7 different languages. It's there for you. The videos, self-paced, whenever you're available that you would like to view them, easily accessible. And so I wanted just to remind you that they have them right there for you. And then if you have questions about the testing or the standard-based grading, right there on the district website, as well as the COVID update status. So I wanted to let you know about those items, and then I'll share more. We added something to our website, which is the mental health wellness resource guide. We recently had, last month when we did our Parents as Partners session, we had our nursing wellness and the mental health department with Sending Unified come in to talk with families to let them know what we offer. And so they can have that point of contact and immediate person that they could speak with. And so they gave us a resource guide, and I'm going to just click on that so you can see. So what the resources, whether you have insurance or you don't have insurance, it tells you exactly who to contact so you don't have to go through the middleman. So they have the patients here, the page numbers, and as you scroll down, you'll be able to see exactly what you're looking for, the facts that you may need, and just based on the topic, the supports, go to that page and it's right there at your fingertips. We also have this on our website, so it's easily accessible, but I just wanted to show you here. And then the San Diego County Office of Education offers a wealth of classes for families. And so we know that's really a traumatic time. People are experiencing a lot of anxieties, and we know mental illness is real. And so they have supports for families. And this month they're focusing on training for suicide prevention. So they say anyone can attend. Anyone who recognizes the crisis or warning signs are able to attend and get additional information. I'm just gonna click right here so you're able to see exactly what they offer. So this is the San Diego County Office of Education. They have a section for families, and then they have brochures here, help for students in crisis, teen mental health, and it's all available. It's free resources right for families in our San Diego Unified School District in San Diego County. And so these are other options available. And as I said, this link and all these links would definitely be in the chat. So I'll click on to the next so you can see here. 211 is always available, but I wanted to click on our website as well. These are upcoming workshops. Tonight we had one with the A3G requirements, and we had counselors from the district online with us during the workshops. We had probably close to 375 parents this evening and students in secondary wanting to know what are those requirements. Tomorrow we have one about the special education ombudsperson, because we have two for our district. They're neutral party. They just talks about the IEP process. They tell what the rights and responsibilities are. And so a lot of parents had questions, and based on their feedback, we brought in the experts. So this is what we're doing in the family engagement department. I'm gonna go back here because I want you to see what we're offering on the website and what we have new on the website besides, you know, 211, and they're still giving the testing. Let me go to, I have it. One of my links should be a clickable link for the, here it is. Thank you for bearing with me. It should take, yes. So this is our website. And what I want it to show you is everything that I spoke about. Remember when I talked about the mental health and I spoke about the COVID-19 status, and right here, it's a one-stop shop. So if you just click on this link here, you'll be able to see all those different options that are available. Let me just hover over again. So you can see the grading policy. You can see the learning menu. It's just a one-stop shop. And then even here, OVA has a new newsletter they put out every month. We put it here for our parents to see. So on this newsletter, you'll be able to see what's upcoming with the DLAC as well as with the ELAC. We really want to encourage parents to be involved. So this is what we have, even about the LPAC testing. What is it? So we are adding this component to our website to support families of English learners, multilingual learners. So we have that on our website as well. And then if you I click back, when I say mention to you about our team, I really want you to know that you have district staff available to talk with you, to speak with you, to answer your questions, to hear your concerns. So here we are here. And then when you get on this link for the team members, you could just scroll down and you may see a familiar face. You can call the number at the specified time of their office hours, or you can send an email. But I just want you to know that you do have a point of contact. You do have someone that you can actually speak with, and we're here for you. So please utilize that service. It's not for show, it's for you. And then also we have our high impact home strategies that we keep on there, but we add another component. And I don't think I showed you this time. Well, I showed you last time, the Family Fun Factory. And that's what we have, engaging activities that families can do today together. And for today's Inauguration Day, we actually added that component to the to our Family Fun Factor. And so it has the inauguration. I can click on it here really quickly. I'm just gonna go through real quickly so you can see. And so what we have here, when you click on it, it actually has videos. I'm gonna click right here. And it'll have a video of a teacher actually going through and telling you exactly what that day entails. So it's a learning tool. I'm not gonna click on the slide, I just wanna give you an overview. So it talks about what is an inauguration day. And then we have read alouds related to, we have Joey here, it's the story of Joe Biden. Then we have a book by written by Kamala Harris, Superhero, who saw everywhere. And so you'll be able to just click on that. We have activities that families can do together as well. You can write a letter to the vice president or the president. And then what would you do if you were president? You can submit it actually to our staff member, Ms. Joanna Perez. And so if they wanted to watch it live, we had it here as well. So we have it up to date. We have it whatever holiday, whatever is going on, we want to make it relevant for parents and for students to engage in that process. And then last but not least, if you are concerned about, or you have like, you've gone to your child's conference and the teacher told you your child is at reading level E, and you're like, what does that mean? Well, we have it right here. What does it mean? You get on the reading level here, and now have English here. We have it available in other languages as well, if you see below. And then you could scroll down to that level E. And you can see exactly what that looks like when you go moving forward. So you can just go to level E. I'm just gonna go to B right now. So B, it tells you what the student should be able to do. when you're reading with the students, these are the prompts that you can ask your child. Now, if you want to propel them to the next level to see, hey, these are some strategies you can try on. Research-based strategies. So we have that also that we've added for families to utilize and be able to support their child's learning at home. So what we're trying to do here in the Family Engagement Department is make sure that we have everything that you need at a one-stop shop. We're taking family feedback. We're taking what families say that they need more of and what they need support in. And we're offering that in different capacities. So we're giving technology workshops and more. So if you want to see what we're doing, when we're doing, you can just get on the events calendar and you can see everything that we offer. So we have the family engagement events here, and this will be the last thing, and I'm done. I promise you guys, I'm gonna be done with the last one here if I can get it. But we have the events calendar, and it tells you exactly what events we have. It tells you the time, and if you click on it, it gives you a little verbiage about what it entails. So that's who we are, that's what we do. We're here for you, and I thank you very much. I'm gonna stop sharing this. So thank you. I try to do it really, really quickly. It's a lot, but
this you did is great. You did great, Pamela. Thank you. There was a lot of good information in there. And actually, I want to ask anybody who's here from the district resource teacher or Pamela, you and you know your colleagues, if you can put your information in the chat, if people want to get a hold of you, I think if you could put your email in the chat, that'd be really great. And for those of you who are joining us after we did the introduction part, if you can also sign in on the sign-in sheet, that would be helpful too, so we can keep track. And there's a link in the chat for the agenda for tonight. So just a few housekeeping things. Great, well, we'll move on to the next item, C2, District Budget Updates. I'm gonna hand it over to Tom Liberto, Director of the SPSA Department. Tom.
Great, thank you and good evening, everyone. Again, thank you so much for your time being here. This is really important. That you represent your site. And we had a couple of things that we asked you to follow up on, and we saw that many people did. I'm gonna give a little presentation here of the survey that we asked each of you to take back to your sites. I'm gonna start right out of the gate and say that many of you communicated to us that you didn't have time because your site didn't have a meeting scheduled at that time before tonight's meeting. So enough of you communicated that to us, and we reevaluated the timeline, and we decided to leave it open for another month. So thank you to all of you that got it in on time. But those of you that couldn't, we still want to hear your voice. We want to hear what your site has to say. And this will help us to shape the central Title I budget for next year. Before I do that, Mary, are you driving this bus today? Okay, you could click to the next slide. And these are gonna scroll up. So I'm gonna give you some general budget news first. At the first interim, which is going on a little over a month ago, presented to the board, I think you all remember that we were projecting $155 million budget deficit. So that's the bad news. We were going to be short by that amount, and it's still technically sitting around that number. If you could click, Mary. But we have received lots of COVID relief, which is starting to address that. So we got some CARES money. We got some ESSER money. There's some other things there. I wanted to share with you that we don't have a real defined number of where we are right now because things are moving so fast, and we're charging things to these COVID relief funds, but we have a FPM coming up. That's a federal program monitoring review. It starts on March 15th and will end on March 29th. We're gonna have many reviewers from the state of California looking at our finances, and all of the COVID reliefs are included in that review. So in the coming months, we should have a better picture of how that is going to support addressing some of the $155 million budget deficit. If you could click, Mary. We also received information, and I meant to put presidential in quotes because it's obviously President Biden who's talking about this, but there's nothing official yet. He's talking about additional relief. We do have some indication that it could be very substantial money directed towards public schools. So it'll be like Title I. They've indicated that the allowabilities and how you can spend it will be like Title I. But some of the rumors are saying that it could be four times what we receive as a district in Title I. So again, over the next month and a half, we should have a lot more information on that, which will help us then address that first line and really see what our budget deficit is. Mary, if you could click. Which brings you to, and I think Debbie had already asked about the budgeting timeline. We haven't quite defined that yet, not because we haven't wanted to, but I want to give you a little history, and I may have shared this at a previous meeting. We typically use LCFF forms and free and reduced lunch applications to determine our students or our schools' eligibility for the Title I program. Because of COVID, the state decided back in, I want to say, October-ish, here, you know, give or take a month, that because of COVID, they were going to feed children no matter what their eligibility was. So they told us in every district to stop using the meal applications. So we did for identifying students to receive free or reduced lunch. However, half of our Title I population is identified through that method. So we reverted and we had every school do the LCFF. Now this, when I say every school, that's probably half of our schools. There's probably, you know, 70 to 80 schools that had never done LCFF before. It was a new process for them. So we had to get them up to speed, get them trained on how to do it and what it is. We had to put special accommodations in because we didn't have students and families on campus. I know when I was a principal, as we got down towards the deadline, we would run the report and any student that hadn't turned one in, we'd call them into the office. We'd give them a form. Hey, could you get your mom up here? We need to do this. Well, we didn't have the luxury of doing that this year. So I'm telling you all of this to let you know that the process was very much delayed. The state delayed the deadlines for LCFF. And if there are any principals or school staff on the call tonight, I sincerely want to commend you for the work that you did. We heard from many sites, how hard they were working to get these numbers of forms and everything turned back in. But having said that, the process is extremely delayed and the deadline just passed. Our staff for the past couple of weeks, including Ms. Blanca, our assistant who's going to get mad at me for sharing that she went above and beyond, but she did. She was helping quite a bit, counting all of those forms and getting the numbers in. We're waiting for our research and development department to get us the numbers. And we are planning on developing that report as soon as those numbers come in. And that department is sure that the numbers are solid. So Debbie's question was very timely because right around now is when we're starting to do that. But all of this is driven by, and I hate to say this, but it's true, compliance of staffing and deadlines to let staff go in case we have to make reductions. We've worked very closely with the HR department and we know that we have time to do that. Plus, because of some of the factors I shared in the first slide, we don't think that the impact is going to be as great as it once was, especially at the first interim. So we're hoping that we won't have to, impact as many layoffs and different things like that. And so I can't give you the exact dates because we're still waiting on some superintendent and board decisions on when will this go to the board. I will tell you, however, that your chairman of the DAC, Mr. Jeff Bennett, when I shared this with him, he was pretty adamant and rightfully so to say that the community needs time to see this, to absorb this, to remark and give feedback on the Title I. And so that has been communicated to our superintendent, who was very open to that happening because she believes in the transparency and the feedback. So now we are just kind of working with the board officers about when, because quite honestly, the timing of the board meetings isn't our friend right now. And we want to do it as quickly as we can. We're looking for the best time to slot in as much feedback time as we can. I do want to tell you, though, please communicate to your sites, your SSCs, that February should be reserved for SSC meetings around budget. At some point throughout February, whether it's the very beginning or the very end, you're going to have to hold at least one, maybe multiple budget meetings because of the decisions that will be coming down. Miss Mary, if you could click it one more time. think there's one more on there. There really is not any discussion right now about changing the Title I allocations, like the base formula, the decrement where schools are funded, and the supplemental is still being, I shouldn't say considered. I mean, the plan is right now that schools will still get the supplemental dollars that to go through that supplemental allocation. So we're excited about that. I do want to put in the front of your mind, if your school swings one way or another, that would be the only way that your Title I and your supplemental could change drastically. What I mean by that, let's say you were a school that was at 75% free and reduced lunch or Title I, then you got X amount of dollars. Well, if for some reason it changes down to 60, that's going to impact your dollar amount. And so that is really the only function by which we're seeing numbers change. It's not like we're getting a lot less Title I, so everybody's going to change, or we're not, you know, changing the supplemental applications. The only way you could really swing one way or another is if you have a demographic change that is pretty great. So with that, I think the next slide starts into the surveys. By the time I did this afternoon, 90 schools have responded, but as I said, we're keeping it open for another month. So we're hoping that goes up to the 180-ish schools that we really have. I'm sure some other schools have even put in since we ran this. And the survey will stay open until February 11th. The reason I chose that date is that's the Thursday before the holiday weekend. That following Wednesday, we have another SSC meeting. And so I want to present, or a DAC meeting, I want to present to you what the final kind of feedback is. So Mary, if you could switch to the next. What I've chosen to do here is kind of put these in order from what it appeared through the graph that this survey gave us has the most support. So I'm only showing you ones that were a majority of 7 and above. And I tried to put them in from like the most interested down to the least interested. I probably should have done it the other way around to keep you in suspense, but hindsight is 20/20. So this first one is the supplemental allocations. It looked as though most site teams out of the 90 that replied felt that that was the most important, is to keep the supplemental. For those of you that aren't familiar with the supplemental, it is an allocation above and beyond what the base Title I allocation is. So based on your school's population, if you're a Title I school and you have a students that are African-American, that are homeless, that are special education, there are 9 factors that go across there. Then you, each one of those is weighted for every child that qualifies, and you get a certain dollar amount above and beyond the base allocation. And that is really 100% allocated by your school site. Whatever you feel your school site needs to address those factors. So obviously that was a very high indication on the sites that, responded that was a really high one. Mary, if you could go to the next one. It's no surprise that the base allocation was probably the next one. The base allocation is for doesn't include all the other factors, but it is about the percentage of students that qualify for Title I services at your school site, which we determine by free and reduced lunch or the LCFF. That was another very high response. As you can see, I think it's almost 65% were in the 10, and then it was kind of smattered throughout down to the 5s. Mary, the next one. Professional development seemed like it was a very high one. I think it's important to understand that as our teaching staff becomes more proficient and can provide things at the base level of instruction, tier 1, we call it, then that lifts, you know, all of the others. Interventions are important, but it's obvious that the school sites that have replied, a heavy portion of them, 50% of them, felt that professional development for our staff should be continued under the Title I program. Mary, the next one. High school summer school program. Now, summer school typically has been for credit recovery for students that weren't going to graduate. Other students have gotten in as spaces available, but that's the primary. And we have dedicated, I believe it was... please don't quote me on this, but I think it's around $3 million every year out of Title I for those students that need that support. And so that was another one. As you can see, we get into the later slides, the tens maybe are shrinking a little bit, and there's ones that are moving this way. And then when we get to the last one, you'll see a little bit different. Restorative practices, which was very interesting. There was still a lot of schools that had it as a 7, 8, or 9, or 10, but you can see that there were schools on the other end. So that's how we're getting in. And again, when this is finalized, we'll rank these out, kind of put them in priority order, if you will. But I just wanted to show you the ones that appeared to be on the top. Mary, if you could go to the next one. Preschool programs at school sites. Again, a little bit of diverse, some or most 50% heavily supported it. Some there in the 6 and 7, and then about 16% down into 1. I'm seeing a comment in the chat. I normally don't look at the chat, but that one popped right up on the last slide. Restorative practices are practices at school sites for, I guess, I don't know, don't have a canned explanation of what they are, but if there is discipline that is happening, it's a process by which students can learn through the discipline process. So instead of just, you are a student that messed up, we're going to suspend you, it's more of a counseling type thing. Why did you do what you did? Do you understand the impact that that had on others and maybe even yourself and our school as a whole? So there's a lot of counseling around restorative practices, teaching students the impact of their behaviors and getting them to think about that up front so those behaviors don't continue to practice. So obviously in today's environment, that is a very, very popular philosophy. And I know that our school district is shifting that way. And the previous slide showed that people are supporting that. Mary, if you can go one more along those same lines. Yeah, on my screen, it's showing that it didn't move. I don't know if, there you go, thank you. Counseling for the high schools. And so Lincoln, Morse, Crawford, San Diego, and Hoover, some of our most needy high schools, some Title I dollars have been diverted to those school sites to support the counseling programs there. And it looked as though about 50% of the 90 schools felt that that was still important. One more, Mary. And then along the same lines, the counseling services at all high need high schools. It dropped a little bit. Those schools that were on the list before are our highest need high schools, but it dropped a little bit for the others. And then if you can go one more. Parent outreach, again, kind of a smattering across the board. Some very, thought it was very high. There were some 7 and 8s in there, and then there were some that didn't feel it was important. And then the next two are the arts grants. And these are at the elementary level, Title I, the federal government has said that we can use Title I for the arts under certain conditions. So we've had a very unique program, kind of cutting edge, if you will, in our district, where we've had people supporting the art grant. So we've hired arts teachers, and we do it in the realm of professional development. And so these art teachers will go out to school sites when schools were in session, and it would free up the classroom teacher to be able to do planning around various things. And a lot of times it was PLC work where they're planning with other teachers. And then the substitute teachers, who are the arts teachers, would provide very solid directed curriculum around the arts. And this was a very wonderful program in many people's opinions. You can see that if you take the 9 and 10 together there, they're at about 50%. But there were some on the other end that didn't, you know, feel it was as important. Mary, if you'll click to the next one, the first slide that I just reviewed was about the personnel and then the instructional support. These would be for materials, for instruments and for curriculum and different things like that. We had it broken out. I'm seeing in the chat, boy, I'm looking at the chat a lot tonight. That's kind of weird, but Ibarra has a great arts program, so on and so forth. This is the instructional component of that. And then I think there's just a couple more, Mary. Coordination of the online programs, kind of, basically my guide was I was gonna share if 50% or more chose 7 or above. And this one seems to be just a little more than 50% at 7 or what, but there's some others that weren't there. Mary, if you'll go one more. Monitoring of Title I spending. This one was right, I think, at the 50% mark. And this basically is my department, just so you know. I was glad it hit the 50% mark. But it supports us making sure that we're in compliance and spending our Title I dollars allowable. Let me give you a small example of that. Back when we had just two resource teachers, Mary and Dario, they're rock stars. They were phenomenal at what they did, but there's only two of them. So to monitor all of the Title I spending district-wide, towards the end of the year, by the time they got through that, they might discover things, but we didn't have time to correct it. And so then we would have to charge those things to the general fund. Whereas now we have a resource teacher per area. We have an auditor that works in our department looking at Title I spending, and we're catching them very much earlier and planning appropriately. It's not going to cost us as much on the back end. So I view things like this as putting money up front, doing it right, and not having to get charged kind of towards the end. Again, Mary, professional development again, but around finance, and this would be SPSAs and how to do the SPB, making sure sites are spending their money appropriately and allowable. One more, district-wide support, I guess just general support for the highest need schools. So that's the last slide. Mary, if you click it one more time, it just goes to the questions page. I don't know how much time we have. I tried to go through that as quickly as possible. Crystal, do we have a time?
Yeah, we have a few minutes because we actually are ahead of time.
Well, good, okay.
Yeah, we have some time.
So we will answer as many questions as we can in this forum. If not, put them in the chat and we will get them back out to you in writing. So is there anybody that has a question?
There was one in the chat. Okay. Chris Hurlbert, why have all but the first two charts listed only six responses?
I'm not sure if I understand that question.
So I think when in the slides and your data, the first two, let's see if we can go back, the many of the charts only listed six, captured six of the 90 responses. I think that's the way it was looking like.
You know what? I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So that might affect some of the data.
It very much will. And I'm embarrassed that I went through all of that without even knowing that. So thank you, Chris, for bringing that up. I don't know, you know, maybe I'll take responsibility. Maybe I pulled the data incorrectly, but those were the slides that the survey gave to me.
There could be maybe something in the way when you downloaded the data too.
It could have been. I very much apologize for that. Now, there's good in all things. Mm-hmm. I think spending the time and going through what some of these things are probably helped some people here, because if you go back to your SSC, maybe you'll have a little better understanding of what they were and kind of seeing at least how those six schools do. But thank you so much for pointing that out. I didn't even notice that.
That's good. There's another question. What is the metric for determining high needs schools? Christy from Claremont High.
So those would be schools that have the highest percentage of poverty in their schools. More students that qualify for free and reduced lunch, things like that.
So a higher need than the threshold of 40%, or a higher need than the rest in the district, or what's the percentage based on?
I was principal at Clark Middle School. At the time I was there, we were 99% free and reduced lunch. Mm-hmm. So we were considered a high need school because we had such a high percentage of students that qualified. Whereas other schools might have had 42, 45%. They wouldn't be considered as high need. Doesn't mean they didn't have the same needs, but the higher percentage of students that qualified, and those high schools that I showed, those were very high percentage Title I schools.
So would you say it was 80% or more, 75% or more, 70?
Well, there is a break at 80%. If you're over 80%, you are considered high need.
High needs. Okay, good. I think that answers that. Let me see. Was anything done to ensure that survey responses responded that 10 was the highest versus one? Okay, so the order of priority, just want to verify that 10 was the highest. Is that what you're asking, Chris? It wasn't reversed in some of the questions?
I vaguely recall filling in that form for my principal, who I hope submitted it, And when I did, it was sort of like one was the highest and 10 was, and she may have hopefully reversed it, but it was presented here that 10 is the highest and one is the lowest. And if I made that mistake, it's possible I'm the only one, but I'm not usually that special.
We'll double check the link, but I think the directions were pretty specific that 10 was the highest. Mm-hmm. We'll double check it.
You're very optimistic about our reading skills.
Okay, there's another question here, Janet. Will the final data be provided after all data is collected?
Yes, that's why we're extending the deadline. We just realized, I'm so glad we extended based on the six. I'm so embarrassed that that was set up that way. But yes, we will make sure that all of the responses are there. We'll give you the percentages and we'll rank them in priority. If you recall, that's why we're doing this, because absent of knowing 100% what the Title I central budget's gonna look like, we want to have things prioritized and then apply dollars to the most highest priorities and work our way down so that we can get to the most prioritized ones. So.
Okay. There's a question here from Shanna Hazan. Can you describe how the survey will be used to prioritize spending? And the survey received feedback from Franklin's SSE that it doesn't appear to be a valid instrument to assess site-based priorities. Maybe Shanna can elaborate a little bit on that, but the first question, how will it be used to prioritize spending?
Again, we're gonna tabulate and calculate which of the options that are there came out the highest, most schools supported. So It's just a basic of math. We'll take, if 50 schools put it's a 10, then there's 500 points for that, so on and so forth. You know, that's how we're gonna rank what the highest priorities are. And this really shouldn't be a site priority because you are getting your base allocations and your supplemental. So you can make your site priorities and what you want to spend your site dollars on with those dollars. These are central. How are we supporting all of the district through these central dollars? If you recall, I've shared a couple of times in these meetings, there is no requirement for the district to even give dollars directly to the schools. But our board historically has felt the decision should be made locally. And that's why we put all of those dollars out to the school sites. You can make those site decisions with those. And these are really central supports.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Two more questions here. Can we get the survey? Let me see. Survey results back that they can discuss with their own SSC. Do we have ability to take those out and send them back to each school site?
Yeah, I'm sure we can pull them. I'm going to delegate that to someone else to do it to make sure they get all of them. But yeah, somebody else can pull and make sure we get it, and we can send it to the DAC reps, not a problem.
Okay. And then what metrics are used to track whether professional development is having a positive impact on inner cities like Lincoln Cluster?
So we probably could have a whole session on that. I'm definitely not the expert to do that, but I know that the area superintendents work very closely with the principals, especially in the SPSAs, when we're putting site funds towards professional development. When the area superintendents visit, they go through those and figure out what they spent their money on, what their goals were, how close they came. It's the same thing replicated at the district level. So if we're putting X amount of dollars into these types of professional development, then we look at the data, whether it be true data or anecdotal data, and measure within, and that's really the instructional cabinet who does that. Mm-hmm. And perhaps that might be something we want to invite somebody from that cabinet to come and kind of talk more about that. But like I said, I'm not the true expert to share, just giving you a really high level of how it happens.
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion. And Mark, I noted that I'm gonna bring that up at the next planning meeting for the DAC to maybe have some more information about that process. So that's great. Okay, let me see. Well, I'll just take one more here from Fataha. The need for some elements do not pertain to all schools, but they're still important. Okay, is it possible in the future to add a not applicable option in the answer? That way we do not affect the importance of these priorities for the other sites.
Yeah. It's a great suggestion, yes.
Okay.
And I just want to thank everybody again.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for taking this back to your SSC. If you haven't done it yet, you've got about another almost a month to do, and hopefully we'll capture all of that data for the next presentation. So thank you.
Great. Good. Thank you, Tom. It's always great to hear about the budget and get more information with that. So thank you. All right. Great questions and suggestions. Okay. So now we're going to move on to, again, I'm going to just a little reminder, if you've joined us late, please make sure you sign in on the sign-in sheet. And now we're gonna move to the presentation. So this is a draft. And each of us as DAC board members, we're gonna take a piece of this presentation. I'm gonna cover for Jeff. So what the hope is that we present this to you here in this forum, and we get your feedback. We get a sense of, you know, did we capture some of the priorities right? Did we capture some of the feedback correctly, specifically with last month's breakout sessions that we did? So be taking notes as you're listening to what we're talking about. And we haven't practiced this. So this is the first run. So, and this will be presented to the board, the full board, I believe at the 26th meeting, which is a week from now. So appreciate your feedback. Okay, so let me see if I can share my screen. Here we go, and I won't be able to monitor the chat when I have my screen share, so if I can get help with the chat, that will be helpful. Okay, do you all see a PowerPoint? All right, great. Okay, so this is our board, this is our draft update, and we have a few different pieces of this. We're going to talk a little bit about attendance and participation. We're going to talk about some recent accomplishments, the feedback from last month's meeting, some challenges and opportunities for DAC moving forward, and a little bit about the priorities that we have come up with in terms of the executive board. And then the board recommendations are really where we're going to rely on you to give us that feedback to be able to make these meaningful and relevant. So a little bit about attendance and participation. All right, so and you know, we used to always have problems with DAC attendance, you know, for various reasons, the location, the time, you know, so there are a lot of challenges. But since we moved to this online format, we've really seen an increase in attendance, which has been wonderful. I mean, today we have, I think, about 100 people on this call, which is just fantastic. We do miss a little bit of those side conversations, you know, those in-person conversations, but hopefully we can figure out a way to do that in this virtual environment moving forward. So we've had problems meeting quorum, but not with the virtual environment, which is wonderful. So it's really allowed for this engagement. And at first it was a challenge. We had some technical challenges, some glitches, but every time we've met, it's just improved. And I really wanna shout out to the Mary and everybody who's helped us to put these online meetings together. It's improved every time. And I'm just so grateful for that support. So thank you for that. We want to continue offering this online meeting format, even when we go back to in-person, because we do think that it will really increase participation, especially you know, for folks who have transportation issues, childcare issues, military, like Jeff, you know, he's in the military, so he got called into work tonight at the last minute. So, you know, there's just opportunities there for people to really engage in this virtual environment. So we want to encourage that moving forward. And ask for some legislative changes, because currently legislation doesn't allow for electronic meetings, according to, I think it's either the Green Act or the Brown Act. So that's a hindrance, but we have special accommodations given the environment. So, but we wanna make that available even when it's not during a pandemic. So that's a little bit about attendance and participation. Debbie, do you feel like you are ready for your slide, or do you want to go towards the end? You're ready to go? Okay, so I'll stop sharing and then you can share your slide.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay. Yes. Can you share the slide for me? That I don't have because I am unfortunately on my iPad this evening.
Okay. Mary, do you have the slide? I couldn't access the Google Drive.
Sorry for the technical difficulties. Yay. Oh, okay. I sent it to Jeff, but I will talk about our accomplishments. I certainly can do that.
I think there's really bad reception where he's at, technical difficulties.
Okay, that's all right. So, you know, I was thinking about for the last year, really, you know, what our biggest challenges were first. And I felt like I could write a slide that just said COVID in like 100 font, and that would have pretty much covered everything. But some of the things that Crystal just spoke of is really because of COVID, the fact that, you know, so many more of us as parents have been able to support the school site councils more because we're able to do this via electronic connection. We've been able to attend the DAC meetings. And I really feel that because we're connected and we're sort of forced to use our computer or our electronics, we've also, and I've heard from many parents that they use now the online resources much more than they did before when they attended an in-person meeting. So that I feel has been a huge accomplishment for us. The other accomplishment, which I had nothing to do with as chair last year, and Tom's office did actually, was to decide to go from the two support teachers to the six support teachers, which has been a huge improvement, and I think has probably saved Mary and Dario lots of hair on their head as well. I think that, you know, now that we have split up the schools, it's much less cumbersome for the specialty teachers to be able to really focus. I will say I do know that Mary actually though went out to many, many schools before COVID hit and did a lot of online trainings to each of the school site councils as well, that in previous years was not offered that way. And I think a lot of the school site councils got, at least mine did, I know that Roosevelt's did, we got so much out of her coming, sitting in a meeting, really being able to answer those questions. We had an interim principal. So when that's an issue, it even makes the school site council meetings more challenging because it feels like nobody really knows what's going on. And sometimes they don't. And with Mary there and able to help us out, and any of the teachers, the specialty teachers, and I know I'm calling you by the wrong, I'm totally changing your title, but any of them really are so good. I'm sorry?
Resource teacher.
I just think you're special. So that's why that sticks in my mind like that. But any of the resource teachers are able to answer those questions where a lot of times principals that were newer or interim principals, and even sometimes principals that had been there for a little while, maybe couldn't answer all those questions, and to be able to have that resource has been invaluable. I will say too that we've had so much more participation over the last year or two. I remember the presentation from, I think it was one of the clusters, right before we couldn't meet face-to-face anymore. And they had four or five different parents that were part of that cluster meeting that came up and presented the work that they had done. And in previous years, it didn't typically happen like that. So there's been so much more participation from parents that I think we should all be really proud of that. And that's all I got for now, without looking at a slide that I already sent, but that's okay.
Great, okay. Thank you, Debbie. All right, hopefully you can still see my screen share. So also too, I didn't really mention in the beginning, we present this to the board twice a year. There's a presentation that the DAC does to the board in June and then in January, so every 6 months. So, you know, just to keep them updated. So the next set of slides is really about the feedback that we got from everybody in the December meeting. And what this was is we really tried to get a sense of what's happening at the school sites in midst of COVID. You know, COVID is that, you know, it's the challenge and the opportunity with COVID. It's really revealing some things that that our further needs are around, as well as some things that are working well. So one of the questions we asked, we asked three questions. Well, the first question is, what new needs have you identified and are implemented as a result of COVID? And we broke everybody up into one of three groups, either an elementary school group, middle school group, or a high school group. And so we had facilitators in each of the group, myself, Susie, and Jeff, we facilitated those groups. And this is a combination of all of our notes and the survey that you also filled out. So what I did is I categorized these into buckets where they seem to belong. So the new needs identified were around the students, you know, the needs of the students. There was some chronic absenteeism being acknowledged and noticed. Lack of, obviously, the socialization is a huge issue. Actually one or two folks mentioned that they've been seeing some positive results from actually connecting to students personally, either through the mail, sending postcards, even phone calls. We heard about issues around the Zoom connection and computer, so technology, needing hands-on materials for students to use at home that weren't necessarily technology related, and then tutoring. So, you know, those are the new needs that were kind of identified around students. And then there were some around engagement, the need for more parent trainings for restorative practices. And somebody offered that this was out of some of the SPED areas where they had resources. So using that out of there. Another area was instruction. So we had students, engagement, and instruction. And what this means, the needs were identified as needing teachers to help with, at that time, we were anticipating, you know, the phase one instruction. Everything changes daily around here. So this was back in December, more access to the college level courses, implementing small group on-site for kids needing extra support, benchmarking came up in a couple different places. How to assess in an online environment relative to what, how to define improvement, needing more direction from the district around it. And that also came out in the grading policies. What is that going to look like for school sites? And then access to software and tech licenses that maybe weren't even in anybody's radar prior to COVID, but now are more applicable to the online environment. The second question we asked was, how is COVID affecting your SSE plans, your site's plans? So again, the buckets here are in financial areas, instructional areas, virtual and other. The first slide is about the financial pieces, trying to reorganize the funds based on what was thought, what everybody thought was going to be needed versus now what is needed, what is possible, what's not possible. Really relying on that SPSA to make decisions around funding, surveying their stakeholders. One school mentioned that that's what they're doing. Needing, you know, the counselor and guidance assistance, social emotional learning, extra teachers, translation resources. So these are areas that the site plans are being affected in, as well as instructional. How COVID's affecting the plan in terms of engagement with kids and their cameras, the D's and F's that came up too. And focusing more on the life skills, and along with the engagement piece, the virtual, just the difficulty reaching parents and students, increased absenteeism, which we saw before, and then the advantages of using Zoom and the technology. Another piece that came up at that time was the retiring staff, how positions that were allocated in the site plans, how they would be affected and how to fill those positions and what that's going to look like. And some of these are kind of overlap, with the questions. So they everybody didn't answer like neat category. Some of them overlap. So I tried to capture some of that too, and it's open to adjustment here. And the third question we asked was, what resources do you need to adjust or address your SSE plans? You know, everybody says more money, but we wanted to, you know, kind of think beyond that. And so needing more engagement, support around an engagement, Zoom training. Again, the internet, the connectivity, support for students when parents are working. Another bucket in the needs area is financial. We need more information. What are our funding limitations? What are the expectations? Some things can't happen in virtual versus how they could happen in person. So, you know, basically that question, what we can and cannot do. And needing some more guidance from the district about, you know, how to be equitable to all students in the virtual environment. So those are some of the needs identified based on those three questions. I'm going to go to the next slide, and Susie Reed, the former chairperson for the DAC, she's going to share on that slide. Susie, do you want me to use my slide, or do you want to share your own?
If you pull up this slide, it would be great just to have, because I, just like the board members ask that we not read off our slides, I'm going to give you all my additional comments. But this is pretty much the challenges that we have been facing. And I think that a lot of them are not surprising to everybody. And I hope that you recognize these challenges because they are the challenges that you brought to us. So, and these are things that I think have historically been a challenge. And so I'm hoping we can come up with some good solutions moving forward. Communications, you know, just making sure that each of your DAC representatives have their information updated, because everybody changes things. So we usually get all that information when you put your name and everything in the roster. But if you get a new phone number, you get a new email address, it's important that you make sure you update that information with the DAC, not just as the DAC rep, but also any SSC members, because all SSC members get the information from the DAC and from our meetings. So if they're not updating their information, they're also not getting that important information. And we do want to make sure that everything gets to all the SSC members. We do have a lot of training material online, but it is right now, I think, a little more challenging to find just because we're all kind of getting used to the new website. And so that kind of plays into that next one. But I think that if we all just work towards, you know, helping each other out, if you know that you're having a hard time finding information on the website, chances are good the rest of your SSC is as well. It's just a good conversation to start with your principal and just make sure that everybody knows where to find those resources. The SSC has put together an incredible resource page for the DAC has put together an excellent resource page for the SSC. And so there's a lot of good stuff on there. If you're new to the SSC, especially, and if you're new to DAC, there's a lot of stuff on there that you can utilize and use as training for new SSC members at your site. So make sure you check on those. We are going to try and make sure we get more out there because we aren't able to really offer that training in person, but there's a lot of online opportunities that the resource teachers are offering, and they offer it personally to you. So make sure you're utilizing that if you have that. School site spending, it's challenging because oftentimes you aren't getting your SSC fully formed until January, and that's when it's budget time. And so whatever you can do as your site's DAC representative, whatever you can do to help facilitate that and get that moving is important. I remember as a chair at my elementary school site, really kind of reminding the principal, hey, it's time to do our elections. It's time to be doing this. And as a chair, the principal will help kind of rely on that partnership to make sure that we're doing that. But making sure that you're discussing how everything is being spent and timeliness, and making sure that the chair and the principal are working together. So a lot of this is about training, but a lot of it is also about making sure that we are all getting the right information in order to make the best decisions when it comes to spending. Make sure you're looking at data. But again, this plays into just making sure you know what you're doing on the SSC and getting that information from the DAC and bringing it back to the SSC. It's important, again, what we're doing right now with the SSC and the feedback we're getting for our central funding, that is an area that we want to get your feedback on. And so making sure you're communicating that to your principal and also to your chair if you're not the chair, and just making sure you're starting that conversation at your school site, which already obviously we should be doing. As far as the centralized funding, because of this year, we're seeing a lot more funds put in that central bucket. So you want to make sure you're really talking to everybody about how those central funds touch all students. I'm at a non-Title I high school. We still have Title I students that are still touched by those Title I funding and still have the opportunity to utilize some of those services, whether it be college and career counseling. There's a lot of opportunities at the high school level, especially that students can utilize the Title I services. So just make sure that you are having those conversations around central services and providing those priorities. And just, I think one of the major challenges we see going forward, we're gonna have an interim superintendent. We're gonna have a lot of changes at the central office. We have a new area superintendent moving into interim position. We have a potentially a new area superintendent. So if you were in Lamont Jackson's area, you're getting a new area superintendent. So your principals are getting a new boss. That can help and hinder in a lot of different ways. So let's just make sure we're working on that communication. And if there are staff changes at the central office and something gets missed, make sure you contact Mary, make sure you reach out to your principal. There are a lot of changes happening, especially with the retirements just having happened. So if you have things going on where you have, maybe you don't even have an SSC member, maybe they retired, maybe you need to put somebody in their place or appoint someone, check out your bylaws, see what the rules are around appointing a new member. So these are challenges we're going to end up facing, and the board is aware of it now that we're telling them. So just keep on asking questions and doing what you're doing, and just keep showing up because that's important. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Susie. Yes, Lamont was our area superintendent. We're going to miss him. Great. Okay, so our priorities as an DAC executive board, we're really on the same page with focusing on transparency, communication, being equitable stewards of the Title I funding. But, you know, we really can't do that without your engagement because, you know, we're 3 and 4 people on the DAC board. And because this district is so diverse and has, you know, a variety of different needs, there's no way we could capture everything. But we are here to represent what you have and your needs and what you have to say. So we can't stress enough, your feedback is critical. And, you know, we really want to, make sure that we're using the funds in a meaningful way, in a useful way that actually helps our students. Ultimately, it's about the students. So that's our mandate as your board. And we also want to identify and highlight success, what's working, and to be able to have a way to share that amongst this group. So I think that's a really important aspect too. You know, oftentimes we always talk about what's going wrong, but I think it's good to talk about what's going right too and learn from one another. Again, it's that multiple perspective that really allows for that richness of conversation and talk about the challenges and the opportunities. So that's pretty much what our presentation entails. I think we can spend some time just getting some initial feedback on if you think we captured some of the feedback correctly. And if, you know, your thoughts on the presentation as a whole and any recommendations that we would want to consider for making to the full board. So we'll just open up chat, or you can use the blue. Oh, there's lots of chats that I'm missing here. You can use your blue hand if you want to raise your hand. You could raise your hand in your screen. Yeah, Deborah Raynor.
Will this presentation be available online so we can look at it and share it with our SSCs?
Yes, once we finalize it, it'll be available in the board docs for the board meeting, for the board meeting next week.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask, did we get the feedback right in terms of some of those breakout rooms for those of you who were here last month? Maybe you could put a 1 in the chat for yes, a 2 for no, and a 3 for you're just not sure. Good. Okay. Okay. Got a three there. That's good. Okay.
Ms. Troll, forgive me. Could you repeat what three was? One is yes, two?
Two is no, and three is not sure.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. And thank you for putting those in the chat. Okay. So maybe we'll just get specific too. Again, you know, this is, we want this to be really a group project here. And what are some things we missed in terms of the accomplishments, the challenges? Oh, look, Debbie, you have your hand raised. I didn't see that. Debbie.
That's okay. I was just wondering if, you know, in terms of successes, if anyone could add on to the things that I mentioned, anything specific with regards to our successes last year?
Great question. Take a trip down DAC meeting lane, memory lane. Any of those meetings that you attended and you thought, you know, that was really helpful. I enjoyed hearing that. That helped me. Okay. All right. Well, I think that if you have some ideas or other feedback, you know, you can email us. Mary, would you mind putting the email in the chat? Budget info is always nice to know. Okay. So Anne, are you saying that maybe we should do increased budget information at the DAC meetings, or is that pertaining to the presentation to the board? Okay, we'll give her a minute to respond to that. So yeah, so if you have additional information that you want to send our way, feel free to do that. We're gonna put the final touches on this presentation and have it posted to the board. Let's see, slide 5. Could you please add to the positive teachers sending weekly newsletters to parents regarding, oh yeah, we will. Thank you for that. That's excellent. Let me just copy and paste that. Okay. Okay, good. Okay. Appreciated the breakout rooms and being able to hear from other schools and what they found success in and to commiserate on problems. Good. Yeah, we help each other out, you know, by sharing the troubles and the joys. So that's good. I also value the breakout rooms. There's a lot of people here, and the breakout rooms give us a chance to really a little bit more intimate, not as intimate as in person, but you know, way to get to know each other. Success, family engagement information website is awesome. Okay, good. So we'll add family engagement to the successes, has increased resources to our families. Thank you, Katie, for that feedback. Great. Okay, well, we have about 5 more minutes left. And I think we're wrapping up. We don't have anything else on the agenda. So let's see, can you share the family engagement website with teachers? Can you share the family engagement website with teachers? That would be a great thing, you know, to have your principal share with their entire school, teachers and parents included. So maybe Pamela, if you can put the family engagement website in the chat, maybe Kathleen can copy and paste that or copy that link, and she can forward it on to her principal as well as everybody else who's here tonight. So we'll give Pamela just a chance to put that in there again. I think it was earlier.
It might be a good idea for SSC members to ask to have it put on the website for each of their schools as well. Mm-hmm. And then when parents go to the school website than the family engagement. I know it's on the Roosevelt one. I don't know if it's on all of them.
Okay, excellent. Great idea. The more places we have information, the better it is. Good. Oh, good. Tim looks like he puts it in Dojo in their school. Good. See, sharing information, resources already. PTAs, absolutely. Great forum. Post in the educators update email that teachers receive weekly. Okay, that's something maybe we can pass along to the district. Mary or Tom, I don't know who handles that email. Is that from the district, the educators update email? Pamela, shaking her head, yes.
The district.
Okay, okay. So who can we send that to, that suggestion?
We'll have to look.
Okay.
It is only for teachers, just to be clear. Is that what they're requesting?
Yes, that's what they're asking. Okay. Yeah, cluster meetings. Excellent, Susie, yes. Okay. Yeah, you know, the clusters. I would encourage you as the DAC rep, you have a lot to offer your cluster meetings as well. So I know it's another meeting and you might be zoomed out, but it's a really great place to share information and to just make sure that information is being shared correctly based on what you're hearing from these meetings. You can share it with others. Solving learning loss. Yes, Chris. Yes, yes, yes. We must address that. I wholeheartedly agree. Keeping many of these meetings online, I'd encourage it. Good. Okay, so that confirms that Zoom and online meetings are working. Will the DAC still be sending books for perfect attendance? Oh, have we sent books before?
Hi, I think the same person's asking now, and I shared that we'll talk about that as an executive team and we can get back to you.
Okay, yeah, it's great. Social media, see, district, yeah, on the Facebook. Yeah, that's a great idea. We'll pass that along to the district. Great. Okay, well, we're right at our time boundary, 7:59. We'll end a minute early. I'll give you the gift of free time, a minute back into your life. So we will adjourn this meeting at 7:59 p.m. Thank you. Thank you for being here. It's great to see everybody. Look forward to seeing you next week.
Crystal, if I could make one last comment.
Yes.
You did an awesome job for this being put on you. Jeff didn't know he wasn't going to be here. So you stepped in. You did a really good job. And I want to thank everybody else for being here.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how much it's appreciated that you're involved. So thank you.
Thanks. Great. All right. Take care, everybody. Stay well. Be safe. We'll see you next time. Let's see, who is at?